Isaiah 38, 1 through 5. Verse number 5. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus said the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. The power of prayer. Sometimes we become so common with the things that we do in church. Sometimes prayer becomes a routine thing. Sometimes we treat prayer like a religion. Now, I said religion and not your walk with God. You can be religious about washing a car, watching General Hospital, shopping, anything. But when we understand the true power of prayer, what we understand about prayer is that when we pray to God, what we're doing is we're releasing to God and we're coming under the submission of God. Now, the story that we deal with tonight is an old familiar story. We've heard it many, many different ways. And the truth is, I pray tonight that I can share with you some of the things that I've picked up through studying it. And what that is that we always look at the story, and we look at the story from the perspective of a man was going to die, and God simply added 15 years to his life. Okay, fine. What that got to do with me? You know, and nobody told me I was going to die. What does this really have to do with us tonight? I think that what we can pick up on and what we can see tonight is that there's some stuff in all of our lives that's dead.
Yes.
Your checkbook sometimes is dead.
Amen.
Relationship sometimes is dead.
Amen.
Positive words in your life, sometimes it's just dead. Sometimes the things that you need the most, people just don't give them to you when you need them. Mm-hmm. And so for you to be disconnected from what you need, you'll die of starvation. Now, a relationship with God is something that will always fuel us, something that every one of us need. And if we don't have that relationship with God, we'll die of starvation. And so now this guy, he's a nice king. And the truth is, and let me point this out as well, and that is chapter number 36 and chapter number 37 actually happened after 38 and 39. The Bible is not in chronological order.
Amen.
Okay? So keep that in mind. And now as we move forward, what I want you to understand is this is who Hezekiah is. He is a young man that when he was 25 years old, he became Mr. Man.
Yeah.
Okay? And so here he is, 25 years old, and when he takes the reign of the church, he does a turnaround in the church. Because the people that were serving before him wasn't worshiping God. And so he says, I'm going to put it all on the line, and I'm going to turn everything around, and we're really going to be about God. So he's 25, he has a heart for God, and then people begin to compare him against his father, or compare him with his father, David. Now, David is not his biological father. David is his spiritual father or his covering. Okay? So now I want to say to you, it makes a difference where you are connected to. If you connected with the wrong covering, you will go under every time. I know sometimes people say, okay, well, you need to partner with this ministry and you need to be covered here. It really makes a difference. It's something that you need to be in prayer over. One of the things that really touched me here, sometimes I sit back and I would call it a privilege. I have the privilege sometimes of knowing some personal stuff about people at Life Changing Church.
Oh, why?
It floors me how God continues to move in the lives of people here. And if you know the story of the person seated next to you, you don't have to read about Job anymore. Just touch the person to your left or to your right and then discover the hell that they've been through, but they still standing, they still praising God. You understand, God is still alive. Now, when you are blessed enough to see how God is moving in somebody else's life, you got to know God didn't show you that, allow you to see that, so that you can hate on somebody.
If God shows you how he's blessing somebody else, he wants to know how you're going to act because you're next in line. Be careful how you treat folk when they get their blessing. God allows you to see it. So he wants to say, now go ahead and put yourself right there. Go ahead and dance and shout with them because you're next in line. But if we're not careful, we'll begin to hate because Deacon Charles has got a pay raise.
I don't know who he is.
And so God is saying, boy, you're blocking yours. I don't know. So I go over here and I talk about him. And God is saying, well, you just bumped yourself out. See, if God did it for him, and I know him and I see it, then I need to push him because I'm saying, I'm right next to you. I've been hanging out with you, and it's going to rub off on me what God is doing to you. See, we need to begin to embrace folk and love on folk. And so here this 25-year-old king, he just turned the church around. He opened the doors of the church and people began to come in. As people began to come in, he began to worship the Lord. He was on fire for the Lord. And see, he understood that God is giving me this opportunity to be on fire for him. So he was worshiping the Lord. And the more he worshiped God, the more God was doing for him. And so as God was just revelating, was just giving him things, what he discovered is, I really have a relationship with God. See, if you know your relationship with God, I don't care what they say. I know who I am. Who's going to get laid off? Lay me off if you want to. You're going to make me sit at home and get a check somehow. Go ahead and lay me off. I'm not afraid of that. See, but what Satan tried to do is he tried to add distractions. And so we're looking at the possibility of laying off, the possibility of somebody walking out of your life. This is what I know about God. Every time you lose something, God cannot multiply. Something is wrong with God. I believe love really gets in his way. And so instead of replacing something, he multiplies, give you 10-fold and 20-fold and 100-fold. That's because he loves you. Just to show somebody else, not trying again. That's my child. That's my property. Did you really think you were going to take them out? And so the Bible declares it, and then verse number one. Read verse number one, please.
In those days was Hezekiah sick.
Now wait, in those days. So here it is, he started off when he was 25. Now he's a little older. And the truth of the matter is, what he has is boils. And so now he's sick, but we didn't have, or they didn't have medication like we have today. And we'll learn later that they would take a fig and put the fig over, and the fig would heal it. But the Bible says in those days he was sick. Keep reading.
And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus said the Lord.
Wait a minute. So, I'm already sick.
All right, man.
I'm already going through something. Here you come, you want to tell me. Now I'm going to die.
All right, man.
Why didn't you come when you heard I was sick and just give me some fruit? Why didn't you come and just comfort me when I was sick and just tell me everything is going to be all right? Why didn't you get on your cell phone and call Miss Mary and tell Miss Mary, you know they said he gonna die. And by the way, I heard he really had AIDS. Don't you tell nobody that. Now, here it is. Watch this now. So here it is. He's going through his own little thing. And here come the preacher. Brother, I came to pray for your healing. No. Brother, I just want to bring a benevolent check from the church. No. I came to tell you to set your house in order. Come on, man. You know, you ever feel sometimes that church folks are disconnected from you?
Yes.
You know, sometimes the ones that shout the most.
All right.
When you're going through something, they can't speak one kind word.
Have mercy, Jesus.
Okay, keep reading.
Set that house in order.
Listen to what he's saying. Wait a minute. The prophet comes and says to the king, who's already sick, already going through, he didn't say to him, get your house in order.
Now, to get your house in order means I have the power to go back and do something and I can fix it. Mm-hmm. He didn't say go. He said set it. Now, set is a military term, and what it means is arrange a formation. In other words, I know what you're going through, but if you get your relationship with God right, set your house in order. Now, you're disconnected from God, and I'll show you a little bit, from what he did. And so now God says to him, set your house in order. Keep reading.
For thou shalt die and not leave.
Oh, Lord. Set your house in order because you're going to die. And just in case you didn't hear, it means not live.
All right.
I heard you the first time. I don't need you to tell me that. And so here he goes. He says, I'm going through something. Now I got to get my house in order because this may be my last day. And so now what I got to do is I got to prepare to meet my maker. What I want you to pull from this tonight is this. God never makes a mistake. But what God will do is God will extend the time for you. Now, when God says you're going to die, don't you say, God, I accept that. Keep reading. I'll show you something.
Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall.
Watch this now. God, wait a minute. God said through the prophet, you're going to die. Hezekiah says, wait a minute. Let me find the wall.
Right.
Now, the wall in the Bible represents a wailing wall.
Yes.
You see Jewish people today that go to the wall.
Yeah.
It's like your altar is what it really is. So in other words, he says, I'm going to the altar. I heard what you said, but let me say something too. I'm going to, I heard what God told you, but I'm going to knock you out of it. Let me talk to him myself. I'm so glad Jesus died on the cross. I don't have to speak through somebody. I can go talk to it for myself. Because you may not hear what he really told you. You may mess up a word. But when I go and talk to him, I can tell him what's on my heart. Keep reading.
Yes. And pray unto the Lord.
Now he went to the wall and he prayed.
Yes, he did.
So when he says, I'm going to the wailing wall, I'm going to cry out and I'm going to pray unto God. You don't pray and tell God what to do.
That's right.
Now keep reading. Watch what he told God.
And said,
wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute now. He went to the wall. He didn't tell God to do anything. Like, and I found that strange. He didn't say, Lord, heal me. He said, I'm going to the wall. I'm going to the altar. All I'm going to tell you is remember.
Remember now.
Just remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know me, God.
That's right.
You know I've been on the battlefield for a long time. You know I've been without some stuff because I chose you. You know who I am.
That's right.
Now, he says, remember me. And I'm saying, who is this little dude come out, remember me? Who are you? Obviously, he knew who he was in the kingdom of God.
Right.
Church folk, y'all going through something tonight. You got a relationship with God. Just tell God, remember me. You got a sin. Tell him, remember me. Your bank account past due overdraft. Tell him, remember me. Keep reading.
Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee.
And now watch this. I like that because he gets a little me on that, a little my color.
Uh-huh.
He says, remember what?
Now.
Remember now. Now, wait a minute. You know, like, that's contrary. He didn't say, oh, remember me, Lord. He said, wait a minute, y'all. Remember now. He was talking from relationship. He said, remember now. Now, boy, he's just as ebonic as he want to be. But he knew, I know my dad. Remember my dad. I know you, and you know me. Keep reading.
How I walk before thee in truth and will.
How I walk before you. Now, he's not talking about a physical walk. He's talking about I live my lifestyle. That when I was young, when I was serving you at that time, I did this for you or for the kingdom. Now God, you don't owe me, but I want you to give me a double portion of grace right here. God doesn't owe you anything, but what he's willing to do is give you grace all the time.
Yes.
And so now he found himself in a place in life where life had swept him off his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you holy.
until somebody tell you you're going to die.
Right.
Oh, you holy till the right one punch you in the right place. And then when that happens, you are knocked off your feet, swept off your feet. But hear me now. When you are swept off your feet, always laying on your knees.
Right.
You can take my feet from under me, but let me land on my knees. Because he went to the wall and he prayed.
Yes.
And so when he began to pray, he reflected back on the things that he did in the kingdom of God and said, I set up my timber then. And all I'm doing is calling in a favor right now. Oh, favor called grace. I know I don't deserve it, but that's where grace steps in. And grace gives me what I don't deserve and keep me from what I actually deserve. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet it sounds when you find yourself in trouble.
Yes.
Keep reading.
And with a perfect heart. And
with a perfect heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now notice he didn't say I had a sinless heart. He said a perfect heart. In other words, I fell down. I made some mistakes. But you know my desire. God judges the heart of the man, not necessarily the actions of a man. Because sometimes I want to do what is right, but it seems like evil always steps in there. And so you end up doing that. Watch this. You ever been praying and then you fell asleep while you were praying? You ever been praying and your mind drifted somewhere else? You meant to do good, but somehow you got disconnected. When you become disconnected, God says grace still covering you even where you are.
Right.
Keep reading, please.
And have done that which is good in thy sight.
Now, I wasn't trying to please somebody else. I was looking at you because I know you were looking at me.
Yes.
So I did this in your sight. And so if you're doing it in the sight of God, God sees all, knows all. But God is not looking at you, child. Oh, Lord, you did this. No, that's not what he's looking. What God is saying is, look at my child who have a heart for God, has a passion for me, has a desire to do it right. Oh, he fell down, but he still had a desire to do it. See, that's what grace is all about. Grace knows we're going to fall short, but grace says, here I am. I am where you fall short. Keep reading.
And Hezekiah wept sore.
Now, he just cried. Now, watch this now. He said that he cried. Here's the difference, Chuck.
All right.
Praise is the emotion that I give you, that you see.
Mm-hmm.
I can fake it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But when you find yourself in the presence of God,
yes,
and your tears begin to run,
uh-huh,
he says, that's worship.
That's right.
That's your heart. That ain't what you're trying to show somebody. He says, that's how you really feel inside.
Yes.
You ever see somebody that clapping, they're clapping, then they go and they do something crazy? But see, true worship, when you worship God, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. I gotta step outside of myself. I gotta worship in spirit and according to the word, which is the truth. Praise is to take you in the presence of God to prepare you to worship God. When I begin to worship God, worship then takes me into the inner courts of God. Now, it was in the inner courts that... I want to get ahead. Keep reading, please.
Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord...
But wait now. Now, here's another word. Watch this prophet. One word come to him and said, God's going to kill you. Another word just came back to him again.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Now, keep reading what the word said that time.
Thus said the Lord, the God of David, thy father,
uh-huh,
I have heard thy prayer.
There you go. See, you think God doesn't hear you when you pray. He may not necessarily move because it may be your thing to go through.
Yeah.
But just because he doesn't show up doesn't mean he's not there.
Right.
And so as soon, watch this. This is what you got to start all over again, Robert. Watch this.
Go. And
go. Wait. Now he just came, brought a word. He left. As soon as he leaves, he walks into the inner court and God says, go back.
Go back.
Go back. When you pray and you let it go and the angels take it, and when they take it into the inner court, God said, that thing is mine now.
Yes.
So at that point, God is able to turn anything around. Now watch this and be careful. Your prayer, his crying, his acting a fool, whatever emotion didn't change God. What changed God is that he told God who he was.
That's right.
I'm yours. I'm jacked up, but I'm yours. Mm-hmm. My credit look bad, but I'm yours.
Yeah.
I sometimes say the wrong thing, but I'm yours.
Yeah.
And so in other words, he shifted from himself to God.
Yeah.
Watch the revelation. Hear this.
Yeah.
Sometimes when something happens in life and it sweeps you off your feet, mm-hmm. and you land on your knees. When you land on your knees or you find yourself prostrated in front of God, don't allow what happens when you prostrate in front of God to mess with your pride.
That's right.
In other words, God can give you some in praise, in worship, and you think, I did it. You think, I got it. The thing that happened with this guy, Hezekiah, and that what I didn't know, is that the whole issue behind what happened is that pride came in.
Right.
As soon as God healed him, let me speed up. As soon as God healed him, then somebody, look at verse number, good Lord, 17.
Verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
For thou hast cast all my sin behind thy back.
Listen to what he's saying. He said, listen, God, I know what you've done to me or for me now. See, the issue was, as soon as God healed him, he looked around and said, boy, I got it going on. I got 15 more years. I got it going on. Not only do I got it going on, but now you got to check this out. I told God I wanted a son. And because they didn't have Rolex watches, they had these little sundials. And so what the sundial would do is that it would go down to tell you what time. He says, now God, give me a sign. And the sign was, stop the sun from going down and reverse it 10 degrees. God is reversing some stuff in your life. You thought Satan took it, but God is saying, baby, I'm reversing that thing. I'm giving you more time. I'm doing it over and over and over again in your life. Don't you worry about what the clock says. Baby, you better keep your eyes on me. And so here's Hezekiah. Now Hezekiah says, okay, I got 15 more years. And so now I'm the man because I know exactly how long I got to live. So I can act a fool. And so everybody who did not know you all of a sudden know you. And somebody writes you a letter. And they say from afar, I want to come and see you. Now isn't it just like folk, when you heal, then they want to come see you? Uh-huh. And so he received the letter, the people come, and he received the people. Watch this crazy man, yet watch us today. What he does is say, I know y'all don't like me, but come on into my house. Because I want to show you what I got in my house. Am I talking to somebody? You got to be careful what you show folk in your house. You got to be careful what you tell folk about you. Everybody don't want to know you've been blessed. Everybody don't want to know how God is moving in your life. Some folk come in your house and leave some bad spirits in your house. And so they come in, and Hezekiah, the foolish man, he opens up his house and show them everything that he got. He shows them the gold, the silver. He shows them how the military is all stored and how all the weapons. He shows them everything. And here comes the prophet once again. He says, hey, didn't you have some visitors? Yeah. What did they want? Well, they didn't want to see. No big deal. And that's what we think. When folk ask you personal questions and you start telling them where you get your money from and how you're rolling and how you think it's no big deal. And then they begin to pray against you. And you wonder why your stuff is stuck. I used to float, but now I can't float since old Sister Mary came on my house. She must have left some bad spirit. Be careful who you let in your inner court. Be careful who you share your business with. And so here he goes. He let him come in and he shares everything with them. And when he shares everything with them, the prophet shows up. The prophet knocks and says, tell me what they want. He says, they just want to come in and see what was going on. And I showed them everything. And then the prophet says to him, whoa, you weren't supposed to show them everything. As a result of that, you are now cursed. And everything that you once had that was a blessing, now all of a sudden it cursed. Now you say, well, God would never curse anything. When you disobey God, God won't take it from you. He'll just put a time out on it. You got some stuff parked. You can see it. You can reach it. But you just can't get it to move. There's some blessings. You know it's on the way. But because of disobedience, because of sin, it is separating us from getting our stuff. You got to clean yourself up. You got to turn to the wailing wall. You got to begin to cry out to God. The Bible declares, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, pride will never let you humble yourself. Pride will tell you, this my stuff. I've been healed. I'm a God just like y'all. And see, that was the problem. When he came into ministry, 25, when he was age 25, he was attacking all those who thought they were God. He was praying against what they were praying for. Everybody in the church, don't you be foolish about this. There's some folk in the church, I'm talking about preachers right now, I'm talking about you say, there are some preachers who swear up and down they just like God. They swear up and down just because they prayed for you, you're healed. They swear up and down, if you leave that church, you won't make it. Baby, you can go to Egypt. If God got a blessing for you, it's for you and it's going to follow you. Surely blessings will follow you. See, we do the scare thing. I'm going to scare you to stay here. So I'm going to tell you, if you leave, you're cursed. If you leave, this and that. But you got to have that relationship with God to know I'm not going to leave until God tell me to leave. And when God tell me to leave, you better believe I'm getting up out of here. And the truth of the matter is, you better want me to get up out of here, because if I stay here and I'm out of place, the whole thing going down. And so when somebody come to you and they tell you God told him they need a release, you pray about it, you better let them go. If not, they're going to stay and sink the whole ship. Baby, you leave so I can save the 99. All right, now. I'll come after you later. All right. It only takes one bad apple to spoil everything. You got to be in prayer, and you have to have a spirit of discernment as to what God is saying to you. Now, the issue, once again, the issue was pride. Now, when pride steps in, pride will make you forget about what God doing, and you'll think that you are the man. And so that was his issue. That was Hezekiah's issue. He forgot about God healed him. He forgot about some people were praying for him. Isn't it just like church folk that ask you to pray for them, and as soon as you get on your feet, then you never say thank you. You never acknowledge them. And the folk who talked about you when you're on your deathbed, you find them running with somebody else. And then you say, now, I was in the hospital, and wasn't this joker talking about me? Not it, buddy, buddy. It's a strange thing how people will come together just to kill you, even though they don't like one another. People will buddy up just to stop your blessing if they can. But thank God that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. You can hook up with 55 other folks, but what God has for me, baby, is for me. Because I know that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. All I got to do is keep on praying to God. Keep on calling out to God. And God hears it. And especially when I find myself in a position that I'm really broken. You see, somebody said God doesn't use a man or woman until he first break a man or woman. God have to get you, crack you, break you outside of yourself. Because until you see God for who God is, you think it's about you. And so God allows you to go through something. And when you're going through something, you got to begin to encourage yourself. I'm going through hell. But one thing I know, and that is all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. I love the Lord, and I know that he loves me. Somehow this thing is going to work out in my favor. I just can't let go right here. It may take me a while to get to it, but baby, this is going to work out in my favor. And so you continue to press into God. You continue to worship him, continue to serve him. And then one day, all of a sudden, he speaks into your life and says, peace, be still. And the storms that you were going through, all of a sudden, it's quiet. And the things that used to sink you, all of a sudden you find yourself walking on water, and you have to say, nobody but Jesus. You know, sometimes God will move in your life, and all of a sudden when he moves in your life, you don't feel him moving. All you know is, I'm still here. All I know is what I asked for, I got it right now. Don't know where it came from, and sometimes when I do know, the person that brought it to me, they didn't even like me. But God will use your enemies as your footstool. The same one who tells you not going to do something, God will position that person, because Jonah's steps is ordered by the Lord. So God will allow you to walk by Charles, between Charles and Deacon Ray, because he says, here's your blessing right here. Now they're going to look at you and they're going to try to do something, but don't worry about it. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And sometimes God will allow you to sit before your enemies, prepare the table before you in the presence of your enemies. Sister Zena, I know you don't like me, but watch me eat the blessings of God. It is really good. God knows where he's taking you to. You just got to know that the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. God is guiding you. God is leading you. He's walking you through this thing called life. Have you been blessed tonight?